Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A new report put out by the United Way of St. Louis and the University of Missouri St. Louis's Public Policy Research Center shows that our regional community has huge deficits when it comes to coping with day-to-day needs. Here's the basic number. Almost half of the people within the sound of my voice do not make enough money to fund their basic needs. Joining me to talk about it from the United Way are Julie Russell, Senior Vice President of Planning and Evaluation. Dana Stock is Senior Vice President of Regions and Special Initiatives. Also, Mark Tranel is Director of the Public Policy Research Center at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I have to say, folks, that I found your report stunning. The numbers are Missouri, 59% of all households are at or below the basic needs threshold. Illinois, 48%. Wow. I mean, that is really remarkable to see numbers like that. But Julie, let me begin with you to set this conversation up. Let's define what we mean when we say basic needs.
Sure. So thank you first, Don, for having us here today. Sure. We really appreciate this opportunity to really share with you the data that we've collected over the past year in partnership with the Public Policy Research Center. So when we talk about basic living expenses, we're really talking about seven categories of items, and that includes food, housing, health care, transportation, child care, taxes, and miscellaneous expenses.
That's basically everything. That's day-to-day stuff.
Exactly.
So what is the fallout from that, Dana?
Well, I think that it puts people in a position where they may have to make choices about whether or not they're going to pay their rent or fix their car. There's a difference between having an adequate amount of money to live and having enough that you can save and be prepared for surprises that come up that can quickly change your life. So,
Mark, who are these folks? Is there a profile?
Well, the report looked at five different types of households. So what we did was first look at the types of households that are predominant in the St. Louis area. And those are households with two adults and two children, one adult and two children, two adults between 19 and 64, two seniors, and a single-person household. So what we did was calculate those income expenses for those different types of households, and then we compiled the information by county for the state of Missouri and the state of Illinois. And what we really found, you quoted the overall average, which was 43% of all households did not have adequate income. But there is a lot of variation within the geography of Missouri and Illinois. For example, 48% in Illinois, 59% in Missouri. But even within those household categories at the high end, a household of two adults and two children, the need for basic living expenses is $70,000, whereas for a senior couple or a single person, it's $29,000. So there's a lot of variation to understand what this means in people's everyday lives.
Julie, it's kind of hard to reckon that a household of $70,000, almost regardless of size, is having this kind of difficulty.
Yes. The number sounds high, but, you know, as Dana had mentioned, it's, you know, to cover all of those categories of expenses, for families to have savings and to be able to save for college and to cover child care expenses.
Child care and health care were the two big drivers when you're looking at two adults and two children. And that gets into whether or not, in terms of taking a job, there's adequate income from the job to pay for the child care. So when you add all those things together is when you get to that kind of an amount.
Dana, why did the United Way get into this study? What prompted it?
Well, we recognize that our mission is about helping people live their best possible lives. And in order to do that, we really needed to understand the conditions of folks in the region throughout the 16 counties in Missouri and Illinois so that we could really have a better sense of what some of the needs are and how we might better meet them.
And when establishing what those needs are, what role would the United Way play?
I think the role we would play would be to then provide not only supports but also programs and initiatives that could change the conditions that would help people live better lives. So we can talk about some of the work that we're doing around collective impact and education to really improve outcomes for young people, to create conditions where across sectors people are collaborating and working together in better ways, to make sure that young people are on a path to having quality education and earning a wage that puts them above that basic living measure.
So ramped up to do that now, Julie? Is that the next step?
Yeah. So collective impact, as Dana mentioned, is one of our innovative strategies within the community to help address this need. But we also have some short-term solutions as well related to 211. So for folks who may not know what 211 is, it's an information and referral helpline that anybody in Missouri and Southwest Illinois can call. It's free. It's confidential. And it will link folks to the services that they may be struggling with in terms of transportation and childcare and looking for jobs. And so that's available to anybody.
Right.
And folks can call, simply call 211, but we also have an app. Folks can also do self-service on our website. And then we also have a live chat.
Have you reached the point where those calls are coming in yet?
We take over 150,000 calls a year through our 211 helpline.
But related to this report, are you receiving anything directly related to it?
We receive calls regarding the needs of from folks who are struggling with, making ends meet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Danny, you're nodding affirmation there. Is there something you wanted to add?
Well, just that, 211 is a great resource for people who need help with mortgage assistance or utility assistance. And that's something that is in existence and is really helping a lot of people by giving them referrals to agencies that can provide levels of support. As Julie mentioned, that's a short-term strategy, and our focus as well is on building some longer-term strategies through efforts like Collective Impact to improve the numbers moving forward.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hopefully one of the impacts of the report is people have, a good understanding of what poverty is because that's a level established by the federal government. But that's a measure of inadequate income. It doesn't really say what's a measure of adequate income. So hopefully one of the impacts of this report is provide the community with an understanding of what kind of income is necessary to have an adequate life for a household, and not only to have the services available, but for the community to support and understand the need for those services so that there are enough resources put into those kind of services because the demand is so great.
I think many people would just assume that what we're talking about would be the urban core, the city of St. Louis, that's where the big problem is. But it goes far beyond that.
Well, for example, in the St. Louis metropolitan area, the county with the highest level of need is Franklin County. It's 79% of the households in Franklin County do not have adequate income to meet their basic living needs.
Without necessarily being called poor.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
I just can't get over some of the 79%.
Right. Well, that's where the whole mental shift comes in terms of just because you're not defined as poor doesn't mean you have enough money to meet your basic needs.
What about incomes above $70,000? I'm guessing there are people who make more than that who are also fall into this category.
Well,
kids in college, for instance, with $100,000 a year.
Right. In terms of developing the statistics, we looked at certain standards for housing expenses, transportation expenses. People can obviously have a range of needs as far as housing and those kind of things. So whether or not any individual households need at their interest level is adequate is a different question than meeting basic needs.
Right.
And it varies. And it varies geographically as well. Mark mentioned Franklin County with the highest level on the Missouri side. St. Charles County is about almost 34%. So, you know, the cost of living is different in different communities. Accessibility to transportation varies in different communities. So geography plays a factor as well.
And the composition of the households varies across. So where you have an area that has a lot more senior citizen households or single households, and on average, the need for level of income in that area is lower than when you have a concentration of two adults. And particularly in terms of the household type with the greatest need, 80% of female-headed households with children are operating with an inadequate level of income. So there's a lot of detail to understand.
That doesn't come as a surprise to me. Julie, we time and time again in any number of categories, we find out that that is the case, single moms with kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Those are the folks that we see that are struggling, as well as minority groups. We found that African Americans also are more challenged to meet these basic living expenses.
Well, again, I'm sort of set aback by all of these numbers. We have to take a break. We'll do that and come back in a moment and continue our conversation. We are talking with Julie Russell and Dana Stock of the United Way of Greater St. Louis and Mark Tranel, Director of Public Policy Research, Research Center at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. And we're talking about income disparities and what is going on that is just remarkable to find out that people are having difficulty making ends meet in our community. Back in just a moment to continue that conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Julie Russell and Dana Stock of the United Way and Mark Tranel of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Mark, let me turn to you. You've done a lot of surveys and a lot of research of this type. What surprised you most out of this particular study?
Well, it just reinforced an understanding that households with these kind of challenges are present in every community in the metropolitan area. Whether it's city, county, there's no area that doesn't have households in this kind of need. And when you start thinking about the challenges the metropolitan area faces, you were just talking about efforts to increase high school graduation. Why are we having different kinds of problems like children not coming prepared to school? Well, when you realize the kind of challenges as the households are facing, and they are on a day-to-day basis making a choice between medicine and food and other kind of expenses, that's the environment that's challenging children to be focused, people to be focused on performing adequately at work. So there's a lot of real things that happen in the community that this really is the underlying cause.
Then you go off for a payday loan and really get yourself in trouble.
Yes, absolutely.
Dana, how about you? What surprised you out of all of this?
I think I was surprised by the income required, the number initially, honestly. At first, you know, I thought, wow, that seems like a lot. But at the same time, when you think that we've been so focused on poverty and how we define poverty, which is the bare minimum a person could have to get by. And you really then juxtapose that with what does it take to have all of the things that you need to live a not necessarily cushy life, but a comfortable life where you don't have to make those really difficult decisions between basic needs, where you have the flexibility to send your kid on the school, you know, field trip, having that, having a little bit of savings so that when things happen, as they always do, you're not thrown into a situation where you have to make the better of two bad choices, I think is what the report revealed to me, that it really requires a lot.
Mm-hmm. Julie, how about you in terms of what impacted you the most?
The numbers, really, that 43%, and that that's nearly 500,000 people within our region who are really just struggling to get by. I think that number is astonishing. Like, you know, Mark said, it's your neighbor, it's your family, it's your friends. And, you know, when we looked at the data, too, we see the greatest gaps around housing and transportation and childcare. Those are the three categories where we see the largest gaps. And when we correlate that with the data that we collect through our 211 helpline, it just really reinforces that.
Of course, the solution to the problem is more money in these households so that they can afford their basic needs. But what can you do through 211 or anything else to make that happen? That's the solution.
Yeah, so we connect individuals to agencies that can help with job training, workforce development, and then we also have some initiatives around EITC.
We, United Way believes that a Missouri EITC Earned Income Tax Credit. There's a federal Earned Income Tax Credit presently, but expanding that in Missouri would put money back into the economy, because it would put money back into the pockets of individual taxpayers. And we believe that that would be better for families and better for the region, because it would be more money back in the economy.
But not much. I mean, this would not generate.
But for an individual family, it could be a couple $100 that could make the difference between those needs and that gap between what they have and what they need.
Any thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, those are short-term issues. We also need to think about the long-term issues. How many times have you heard there's an inadequate savings rate for retirement? If these days most households are responsible for funding their own retirement, well, when you hear that there's inadequate savings in the long term, and you see statistics like this where people don't have adequate resources to meet their everyday needs, I think there's a lot of things that become clear when you understand the impact of these kind of numbers.
What about legislatively, Julia? Some of the things that you'd be talking about, I'm sure, would require, or maybe it's Dana, or you say, whatever, some of these things would require some sort of legislative action, I would assume.
So we have shared this report with our legislators in Missouri, and then we've shared them with the folks in Illinois
as well. Yeah. And there may be specific policies related to these individual categories that make up the basic needs. But I think we don't have a heavy legislative focus. We're really more focused on programmatic and system level change, bringing community members around the table to solve some of these problems and create better conditions for folks.
Is this problem exacerbated in Illinois because of the budget problems they're having over there?
Well, that certainly adds another layer of challenge. We know that agencies in particular have been doing without reimbursements from the state, and that's taxed them and required them to serve fewer people and make cuts in their agency that may be hard to restore if the money does come through, if a budget is passed.
Would the United Way, and does the United Way help people who have higher incomes, $70,000? Does it make any difference? Is there any income stipulation with the work that you do?
The majority of the folks that are served through United Way agencies fall below this threshold, but we certainly fund organizations that serve folks from all income brackets.
Let's take a phone call. We have Phil wants to join us from Baldwin. Get a comment or question in. Let's bring him in. Phil, go ahead. You're on the air.
The problem comes from the inequitable taxation of American wage earners. 2% of the people in this country take close to 70% of the wealth and income generated every year. The middle class, about 18% of the people, live on 10% of that. That means 80% of the people live on 20% of the money. yet I place some of the fault upon them for not voting. Last week, a half a cent sales tax was put upon the poor people who spend most of their money for food and clothes. Unless they start voting in numbers, this problem will not be solved.
All right, Phil, thank you for the call. Mark, you want to take that one on? I mean, that's certainly
the point that he's making is that this reinforces that there is a significant economic divide expanding. We've heard about the loss of the middle class, that the 1% makes 20% of the income. Yeah, so what this is documenting is what's life like for the people, and people aren't thinking about $70,000 for a household of four as an inadequate level of income. So these are the challenges that result from what he's talking about.
And a lot of the people, even some of those that we're talking about, are probably those who would go to the voting booth and vote against an increase in the minimum wage, which would certainly be at least a partial solution for some of the people included in this report.
It certainly would.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to start to wrap this up. Julie, let me come back to you. Give us a final thought. What do you want the takeaway to be from this program and how people can get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd just like folks to know really that the need is greater in the community than we originally thought when we look at this number at 43% of folks, but that the good news is that there are solutions. There are community solutions through 211 and Collective Impact and EITC work that we're doing. And then if folks want to get involved, we have various ways that they can do that through United Way.
Right. And we'll put a link up to the United Way's website because I'm sure there's information there to tell folks how exactly they can do that. All righty. And Dana, you want to make a final point?
Just that I think it's important for people to think about their own life, their neighbors, to realize that if it's 43%, it's not exactly one in two, but almost one in two people who are living in this condition that we're describing. And so recognizing that it's not somebody else's problem, that it's not some other community or some other demographic, that this permeates the region.
And Mark, final thought?
Well, because the reports cover both the state of Missouri and the state of Illinois, I think and this issue of changing the thinking about from what's an inadequate level of income to what's an adequate level of income, and that this is a problem in terms of understanding who lives in our community and what are the challenges that they face.
Do we have any sense as to where Missouri and Illinois would stand nationally in this regard? I mean, have studies been done that would tell us that?
This methodology has been around for some time, and there are some states that have done this, but we didn't compile those as part of the process.
This is the first time you've done that here in the St. Louis region. Well, I want to thank you all for being with us and telling us about this. This is something people obviously need to know. Julie Russell, thank you so much for being with us. Dana Stock, great to have you with us. And Mark Tranel, thanks to you once again. Good to have you back with us. It's been a couple of years. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.